Hello, and you're very welcome to a podcast which is all about the Irish League. My name is Peter Cinnamon, and I'm here to whisk you through all the comings and goings of a weekend which saw the Blues withstand the heat of the Reds in a top-of-the-table clash where a mistake was all McKee needed to unlock that sturdy Cliftonville defence. Ballymena, they're finally off the bottom after defeating rivals Coleraine in a game which the men in black might want you to forget. We're going to dip into the championship, we're going to preview the coming weekend's games and ask, where on earth did that Kenny Shields move come from? All on this week's edition of Kicking Match. Where does the time go? We're back in the saddle once again for another week of Irish League chat. Before we get down to it, I just want to say that I am like so close to a little round number on my count of people that subscribe and follow the podcast. What is that, I hear you ask? Well, whatever your platform of choice to listen to the podcast, you can go and follow it. You can subscribe to it. It's called Follow on Spotify. And you know, it's a good thing to do because you're locked and loaded right now for a good load of chat. And if you follow this pod, it means that you get a little notification to say, boom, Peter's finally uploaded it. And you can sit back and relax rather than, like, you know, swipe it up and down to see, is it up yet? Hundreds of you do it, which I really appreciate it. And if you do it, it means you can sit back, relax, and I can, I've got a little round number. I'm like, I'm just there. I'm like, in arm's reach. And if you just do it, I'm going to be like, ah, little round number. And I'll be satisfied. So thanks for everybody that's done that. It's really nice. I show it to my wife and go, look, all these people do this. And it's very nice. Anyway, getting down to what's going down this week. As always, I've got a guest. He is a return customer. He's a good old favourite of yours. I know, I can tell. Welcome back to the podcast. Football writer, blogger and reporter. It's Lewis Bennett. How are you?
How's things, Peter? All good?
I'm doing all right. I'm back here in Northern Ireland. The weather's dreary. It's slightly cold. Heating's on. You may have not known it if you were listening to this podcast, but I sneaked one out as I was away gallivanting on holiday during the week. I got in the last few rays of Spanish sun and it was great, but it was a big flip. I went from 5 a.m. in Belfast being absolutely frozen with loads of layers to arriving there and just sweating so much when I got there. And I had the complete reverse there at the end of last week where I was still thinking, keep the shorts on, all's good. And just arriving in Belfast looking like the biggest idiot in the world. But I had a great time. I was back to watch more Irish League football. And, you know, it's funny, we get to this period in the season and all of the early season aches and pains, the early season like faults that every team has have somewhat shaken away. And now we see these teams of who they are. And what we're seeing right now is a team at the top of the league who are doing what they couldn't do previously and winning in big games. And I felt as though on Friday night, they did something that they haven't done for a while. Win in a big game when they were under the cosh and feeling the pressure. They were resilient in the face of an excellent Cliftonville team, yet somehow they're the team with the 3 points. A well-earned 3 points by having to deal with all that pressure. But if you're a Cliftonville fan, you're thinking, what did we need to do to win that game?
Linfield just found, I think, a calm amid the storm to take from the recent bad weather. But a brilliant finish by Chris McKee. It was pure instinct, one moment of sloppiness at the back from Cliftonville and Linfield punish it. And as you say, Peter, it was like vintage Linfield, you know, how they got to this stage where they had that many titles. And then obviously they're in the position where they're trying to get it back. Last season, I think it's fair to say Linfield's record against the top six proved deciding in why they ended up finishing second place instead of first. But now we're sat here, they've beaten every single team in the league except Larne. And I thought against Cliftonville, who they've now beaten home and away, they weren't at their best. But it's those moments when they pop up, whenever there's a mistake and how clinical you are in those sorts of situations that can prove so telling, not just in getting the 3 points, but come the end of the season. And Linfield keeping their advantage at the top of the table is hugely significant, even so early on in the season. Jimmy Mulgrew, I thought, was super. Yes, he's not in the position like he was several years ago when he could play 90 minutes week in, week out, but he is still a player that I think when he plays, he can still be a real metronomic influence in that team. You know, the way he's able to control the ball under pressure and get Linfield up the pitch.
They are so far, every game week, if you average it out, they are increasing their lead by half a point. You know, every single one it goes, they keep expanding this lead. And I'm glad you mentioned Mulgrew. He's not the player that's rampaging towards goal anymore, that's breaking from midfield, but he is the player that's able to hold on to the ball, muscle away somebody else, and create that split second of difference so that he can play on the likes of a Miller or a Cooper. And he was influential in that midfield. And one of the big moments in that game was the penalty call in the first half that would have went against Linfield. It was Wilson, he had the ball, he tried to just flick it over both goalkeeper and defender, and then the question mark was, did that high ball hit a hand? I always try and go for like my first instinct, my first reaction when I deal with these things. I know we can have the ability to go through and taper it through every single frame to decide which way it goes. First instinct said handball, flicking through the frames, perhaps it would have felt harsh, but you know, that's the difference in these. For yourself, what does your gut say? Should that have been a penalty earlier on? Because if it was a penalty then, I think we would have seen a completely different game from then on in.
I'm with you, Peter. I thought it was touch and go. I've seen the footage back, and to be honest, I think you would need a frame by frame to tell it. It is close. Of course, you know, Cliftonville get a penalty at the moment and they score that penalty. You know, they're in command, and it does paint the picture of a different game going forward. But I think that also comes back to Linfield, is if it was a handball by Uyunis that he got away with, you know, that's a moment of luck that you've got to make the most of, and how they did.
It's those little moments that all combine together to create a big shiny trophy at the end of the season. Like, yeah. I said at the start, this is not a bad performance from Linfield. Having to deal with all these players that Cliftonville have is something other teams have not been able to do. You go to Solitude, which has been, bar the odd blip, an incredibly hard place to take points from over the past 2 years. And at one point, it looked like it was pretty much a one-on-one duel between Johns for Linfield and Hale of Cliftonville. Those two went at it. There was a great chance for Cliftonville when the ball came in, and Hale met it low and hard, and Johns was up to it. There was a big thump of a strike from outside the box in the second half as well that he was matched up to. We use the word luck here. Wilson, Farnery shot away, just hits the post and away and out. So Cliftonville had the chances to win this game. And I don't think you could sit down and say they wasted a lot of them. They just, this is what the ebbs and the flows of the games are. And it did feel as though around from like 60 minutes, 50 minutes, you're thinking, there's going to be a mistake in here. There's lots of pressure. People are putting a lot of 50-50 balls in, just chances that will go one way or the other. And averages say one time it won't fall the right way. And for Turner, he was on the other end of that bad dice roll, and the header just falls. He heads it from a high ball towards goal into no man's land, and McKee is able to be sharp and alert, latch onto that ball. He still has plenty to do, and just poke that ball into the net past the Cliftonville keeper. So that is a huge night for Linfield. The points now difference, it's actually Crusaders who are now in second after the weekend's games, which we'll get to. But they are on 34 points. They've only dropped one loss. They've only dropped one draw. They are absolutely flying. Cliftonville will just have to dust themselves down and go, we've got plenty more games to go. And there is. And performance-wise, they gave all they could. Surprisingly for me, another big game this weekend based on the result was at the Ballymena Showgrounds. The derby between them and Coleraine. Coleraine looked sharp right out of the blocks, but it all turns on a referee's decision in the first half. Shevlin goes for the ball, so does Sean O'Neill in the six-yard box. Again, for yourself, straight out. It ended up being a red card for Shevlin in that situation for a high boot. Did you agree with the referee?
I did agree with the referee. I thought it was harsh on Shevlin. I thought it was unlucky. There was no intent in it, but his boot was high. And yes, it's a clash of two players, but you know where the boot ends up and the height of it, I think under the rule book, it would be classed as dangerous play. So I thought it was a fair decision for the referee to send Matthew Shevlin off in that instance. And obviously with him being such a goal scoring outlet for Corin, as we've seen last season and this season, it's obviously gonna drop their level a little bit. They've got to find other ways to create chances, and missing him up top as the focal point really obviously came as a blow to them.
To focus in on that decision, myself, if I was a Korean fan, I would be furious. To go to that frame for fame thing, which I was talking about earlier, they literally go. I'm talking about O'Neal and Shevlin. The follow through comes in where he just catches O'Neal on the chest. I know someone could throw a book at me and say this is exactly what needs to be a red card. I feel as though when the ball is there to be won in the 6 yard box, I don't think it has dangerous intent. I think he was going for the ball, trying to nick it in, trying to score the goal, and there's two people going for it, and I felt it was very harsh and frustrating at that point in the game that they then completely changes the layout of it, because Coleraine are then down to 10 men for a majority of the match. Ballymena are at home. That's not even been a given for them, but they end up winning this game 3-1, and it's massively in thanks to this new little starlet that they've found in Noah Stewart. He was the man who popped up and got the goal for their last win, which is only a few weeks ago against Dungannon, and he is a main man in this win here, getting goals. These are the type of players that teams like Ballymena will need to find, that will need for them to rise to the occasion if they're somehow going to get out of this relegation battle. That is a huge win for them. And they did something where they got but 3 goals. They've only scored 8 all season, and 3 of them came on Saturday. I really can't overhype how huge this is, both for the mood in the Ballymena camp, but the momentum this could give them now moving forward. Points are hard to come by in that part of the table. 3 is just massive.
Oh, absolutely. And in a derby game like that, that'll automatically lift spirits. And needless to say, it's 3 points that Jim Irvine really would have needed. After they were defeated by Crusaders last week, it was only an hour defeat. Jim Irvine had said that he felt his team were along the right lines, but were just lacking a little bit of cutting edge that they needed to really go and get something out of the game. On this occasion, as you say, and thanks in large part to Noah Stewart, they went out and they got the 3 points and they scored 3 goals in the process. The relationship that's been growing, I think, between Stewart and Isaac Westendorf has looked impressive. You've got Westendorf, who's in on him from Larne, of course, and has that physical profile about him. And you've Stewart, who's young and energetic, likes to be forward-facing. It's a blend that has certainly inspired a bit of optimism. With Ballymena, standard of performance has been improving, which I think will satisfy Irvine. And obviously now they've moved out of the bottom two with Glenavon and Dungannon in there now. So I think just that relief. And to win in a game like this, a derby game, which will have you fired up, you're playing in front of your own fans, I think that could be a huge boost to Ballymena.
They are starting to put these performances together. Restricting Crusaders in the way that they did was significant. And to get this win, it starts to build that momentum for them. And I've got to agree with you there on Stewart and Westendorf. Who would have thought that classic big man, little man combo could be so in vogue in 2023? But I thought that actually Westendorf did what he's usually best at, which is running with the ball, holding it up, charging at defenders. And he was the man that was able to draw defenders away to give Stewart space at times. And we've seen it when he's able to use those traits, defenders find it really difficult. It's about keeping that consistency and about trying to coach that into him, that this is the role he needs to play. And Ballymena are looking sharper at the back. Coleraine had their chances to take their lead early on. Glacken dragged a really good chance early. McKendry was popping up and around the box before the red card. And another chance, which is kind of inconsequential at this point, but there was a penalty which brought Coleraine back into the game to make it 2-1. Looking back on that, it was Glacken on the ball. He's then chopped down. There was a bit of a question mark of was it going to be a penalty or was it going to be a free kick? It ended up being a penalty. He wasn't miles away from the box, but I do not think that was a penalty either. I think by the time he was being touched, he wasn't in the box. But maybe it's a bit of even Stevens, as some fans would say.
Yeah, no, even with Coleraine, with Glacken being on the ball, they've missed him for a bit there recently. He is a player that can come in to Coleraine's midfield or even play out on the wing if needed, and just drive with the ball and put a bit of pressure on. And I think Corrine have missed that from their midfield a little bit recently. And McKendry, he's just a player that can create something out of nothing. As you say, whenever they had a full contingent on the pitch, there is that freedom for him to get forward and take on defenders and put them in one-on-one situations and unsettle them. Yeah, I would veer towards saying probably more a free kick than a penalty. Close decision, but it was something that Corey made the most of in that moment and cut the deficit.
Another massive blow for Corey, and this has been a topsy-turvy season to say the least. They're surprisingly, at least to me, only 3 points off fifth place and sixth, but you read their stats for this season and it kind of explains this really strange Jekyll and Hyde kind of side. You see them going forward with all these tricky players and you think they're a great attacking side, but they've only scored 19 goals. It's the lowest in the top six, and would actually rank them down as the seventh, only the seventh highest scorers. They've conceded 24, which is the highest in the top six, clearly an area for concern, and it just isn't coming together for them at all. They get this great win against Glentoran when Glentoran were on a really cold patch. And outside of that, they have poor results like this, the Dungannon result and elsewhere. And if you're a Corian fan, you're looking at this side, think just tearing your hair out, because they're not doing basic defending very well. I know they were down to 10 men, but I thought the players were caught bunching round players, letting players go free. They were ball watching at times, and it's just so frustrating. I know they were throwing men forward to try and get goals, but you look at this Corian side and think, what are they doing well? Because I know you can't just strip everything back down to the bones and try and start again, but there's a lot of tweaking needed here, because it's not just one little thing going wrong or a little thing that just needs fixed. Feels like systemic problems here with this team if they are to have the ambition to be back up towards the top of the league.
They do seem to be a bit Jekyll and Hyde, because obviously they had that big win against Glentoran where they came from behind, and I thought they deserved the 3 points on that occasion for their performance. And then they follow it up with obviously losing 5-0 to Cliftonville and 4-0 to Crusaders. That sets the alarm bells ringing straight away for me. If you're Oran Kearney, going straight from what you're doing right to what just getting things wrong. And it is tricky to find that balance. Obviously, you could say that the spirits were brought up with the takeover discussions. It looks like they're going to have investment pumped into the club, potentially in the region of £2 million that could allow them to go full time. But, you know, all the same, you can't get drawn too far ahead to that. And you've got to perform in the here and now. And regardless of how good a result it is for Ballymena, Corian fans are looking at that as it's a trip to the team that's fighting at the bottom of the league. Had a really rocky start to the season, and the supporters, especially after a much improved second half against Glenavon, would have went in optimistic that they really could have had the derby wind in their sails, so to speak. And as you say, they start off really good and then the red card. But for me, that's also where the character has to come in, is the big personalities. Can they drive the team forward whenever you're a man down? And it was at that point of the game that Ballymena start to apply a bit of pressure, and they made that pressure pay. But at the moment at Corian, I think you need the big personalities to step up.
A team that's found their balance once again is Crusaders. That's now 10 points out of 12 in their last four. And they dealt with what felt like a trickier fixture than usual by going down to Stagmore Park and dispatching Dungannon 4-1. This, when you look at that score, I don't think it tells the real tale of what this game was like. Crusaders weren't able to find the spaces to get their attackers away. They were being blunted. Dungannon were able to hold fair. They make it evens for a long time, 1-1 between themselves, thanks to the Thomas Maguire goal. But they come back, they fight back, and they come back from that 1-0 deficit away to then throw the ball into the net four times. Coming late on, first, and it's shared about, James Thielen, Josh Robinson, Ben Kennedy, and Malky Smith all scores. And They might not be feeling hot right now, but they're getting goals and they're getting wins away from home, where this could have been a bit of a tricky patch. And that's all they can really ask for at this point, is get the goals, get the results, and rock up back to Belfast, now sitting second in the league.
Yeah, certainly with Dungannon, I think their league position maybe doesn't reflect the standard of performances so far. They've been a little bit unlucky. I think they're sat in 11th in the playoff spot, which is obviously where they finished last season, but performances I think are better. And whenever I have watched them, they have looked quite, there's a better balance about them. And obviously them taking the lead, it is the case at the end of the day, you need, for as good as you can play, you need points on the table. And Thomas Maguire finding the net would have inspired them with a bit of belief. But
It was a tricky wee moment, for Dylan to see that little gap and Maguire just to have that connectivity between them to go, I'm going to go for this. They completely caught Crusaders napping at that point, and you need to take those chances when they arise to
oh,
you.
certainly. And Rodney Macri has said, and best wishes to them, but to him, by the way. Obviously, he couldn't make the touchline because his health had to come first, and obviously wish him the very best. Macri has said on a few times this season that there are games where they've had the chances to win, but they haven't been clinical enough in front of goal. Starting on the front foot and getting into the lead early on, that would have inspired belief. But then credit to Crusaders after that, they came back fighting. James Tielan, who was making his first start in the league for the club, scores the equaliser. He's a player that the Crusaders fans have wanted to see more of. And he is a player who, certainly from his time at Newry, he has a spark about him. He likes to drive with the ball and he is a very gifted young finisher. And getting the equaliser and sort of sparking that turnaround in the second half. And four different goal scorers, resilience to win away, which was an area where Crusaders struggled last season. I think Stephen Baxter will be more than satisfied with that.
Especially when you don't have Heatley. There was no Leckie that day to get those goals. Very impressive. Love the Ben Kennedy goal. I think it was perhaps the third one. Go seek that out. Find your space and just whip that in. Top bins. Absolutely loved it. And that's a team who just through consistency climbing back up the league. That's exactly what Glentoran will want to do. Warren Feeney is still feeling the heat after a dreadful run 2 weeks ago, but if you take the past 7, 8 days of them, they're sitting there 2 for 2, 9 goals scored, to very efficient performances at home. Their recent one taking care of that little bogey team from last season in Glenavon, who are just in a torrid state of affairs right now. But give Glentoran credit, they got the early goal and they kept going for it. They scored 3 before half time. Sign sealed, delivered. The game was over by then. They've been short on goals and finding it early on. That was the key to their success again there on Saturday.
Two wins out of two against Glenavon now. Obviously, as you say, a team that they struggled against massively last season with two defeats and a draw. They couldn't beat Glenavon, and now they've got two wins out of two. And I think significantly, Warren Feeney's been able to get a couple of his players who were out injured back into things. And for me, most important of them is Luke McCulloch, who had started the season really well, picks up an injury at the start of September, and I thought Glentoran really missed him. And that can sort of shake you off your rhythm a little bit whenever you've got an important player who's in good form and sort of picks up a knock and is taken out of their stride a little. But for him coming back, and especially with obviously he's a player with international experience, he's a leader, he's a threat in set piece situations as well, so he's an asset on both sides of the ball. Him coming back into the things and leading, and I think Warren Feeney also mentioned that's the first time he's had McCulloch, Aidan Wilson and Paddy McLean all available at the same time. To have those three available and have the option of playing a back three with them, I think gives Glentoran a solid base.
We touched on it last week on the podcast. This formation that they're having clearly works for them. McCullough is no doubtly a keystone in this. You can play through the back very successfully when you have McLean, Wilson, and McCullough. They are quite athletic. I'm not trying to say that they're able to do the 100-meter dash in 9 seconds, but compared to what you'd usually consider your centre halves, they are pretty mobile. You then have that bank in front of them, which can be quite malleable. I thought Daryl Connor had one of his better games against Glenavon. He showed composure. He showed a lot of great wing play. He is not the same type of player as McMenamin, and perhaps this formation lets him be the winger that he wants to be, coming from a bit deeper and running at the player, rather than to have it to be this more of a contributor high up the pitch when it comes to goals. You have Donnelly and Junior. We had Matthew Brown sing his praises for Junior. He is this big, strong presence in the box. He's now getting goals. Jay Donnelly's finding a bit of rhythm with him as well. So they're going to sit in, try and find their rhythm with this, and take apart teams consistently on this basis with this more settled formation. For Glenavon, I don't know what to say. It's a tough loss to take, and for McDonald, he's trying a few different bits and pieces and it's not coming off. They're struggling for goals. Their defense is leaking them massively. They have a lot of experience in this team that's then twinned with a lot of inexperience. I know you can't always build your team with a bunch of 25-year-old semi-veterans, but they are lacking that energy in midfield and that head for the big games with the legs to carry it out as well. So perhaps they just need something to swing their way and the confidence will come, because they look completely devoid of it on Saturday. And with this result and the result going not their way, let's say in Ballymena between them and Coleraine, they're now sitting bottom, which can spark all sorts of different kind of feelings when all of a sudden you are the team sitting in the drop zone.
Oh, for sure. For McDonald, it's obviously a baptism of fire. Things hadn't been necessarily rosy under Gary Hamilton, but one man to have been in charge as long as he was at Glenavon, it is a big change to make, especially whenever the season's already started. You've got to factor in it's a change in culture from what the players might be used to. Elements of the style of football might be different. The man management might be different. In any case, you want to start on the front foot, and then, as you say, in Glenavon's position, they're bottom of the league now. You want to have a few good results on the board, positivity to look back on, and they did have elements of that against Cliftonville whenever they played them the previous week, and they hit the woodwork and they were unlucky at points, and Cliftonville still scraped the win, and that's a moment where you feel like you need things to turn for you. You're in that position where you're on top and you just can't finish your chances. That's not a good place to be in if you're at the bottom of the league. Of course. So go into Glentoran, who swept aside Loughgall, a very capable Loughgall team. It's a tricky assignment in itself, but there just needs to be an injection from somewhere, really. And I know McDonald said a few positive things about the standard of performance and that he feels that things are starting to come together, but you can't afford to have that if it's if you're not picking up points, and Glenavon really could use some of them. And they've got a big run of games coming up, against teams around them in the table, and they've got to pick up points there.
This is where they'll have to earn their mustard now, because this is now comes the games where they simply have to get the points. And their next month ahead, November, squeezing in the game this Saturday, just at the end of October, they go away to Carrick. They then host the Swifts in the league keeping. They go away to Ballymena, which will be a huge game there. They then host Loughall and then go to Newry. They have to get points. They have to start picking up points against teams around them and in their vicinity in the top six. If not, they're not going to dig their way out of last place. A team who are now looking up, thinking, could we even reach the top six? Loughgall, big result for them against Newry, and it's all thanks to the skills and the ability of Benji McGee. He has officially arrived in this league. We've talked about him on this podcast. He's the real spark, the real live wire in this team. And getting a hat trick will put everybody on alert to him. He is great on the ball, and now he shows that he can deliver goals consistently as well. I thought Newry were well matched in this game. They proved that they would be able to be an attacking threat, particularly in the first half. They were coming at them, they were creating chances, but Loughgall were just that more clinical, were that more savvy, and were able to put the ball away. And Newry will feel as though that they'll be disappointed to not get anything from this game. But this is another 3 points that Loughgall can bank, that Loughgall can put in their locker to try and stave away any talk they're going to be dragged down. 18 points after 13 games, just simply excellent for the cut you are, my man.
I've been seriously impressed with Local in terms of the way that they approach games, really put their stamp on it. They've stuck to their guns and they've trusted in what they're good at. And I think that's what's most endearing about it all is they just believe in themselves and they believe in the game plan that they go out with. And Benji McGee coming up trumps, obviously, the first half, it's goalless at halftime and you're coming out straight out of the blocks again. And you've got Benji McGee scoring his first goal for Loughgall, Adam Sally levelling up shortly after, and then Benji McGee proving he can go and take a game by the scruff of its neck and then go ahead and obviously get the hat trick and the 3 points for Loughgall. And he certainly offers a little bit of spark. He's not afraid to run at people. And I'd say the same about Jay Boyd, who they've got on loan from Crusaders as well. I think the two of them certainly have provided a new dimension to Loughgall. And what is an experienced pack who know each other from the time in the championship, and having McGee, who was there last season, but really taking strides in his game, and Jay Boyd coming in, those two coming in, I think they've been absolutely first rate. Obviously, where they are in the table, they are 2 points off Coleraine in sixth place, to be 10 points away from, the relegation playoff, when survival, I think, would have been their main objective. I think Dean Smith can be very pleased about that. They're playing like the pressure's off.
Well, they've got some big games coming their way, particularly this weekend. And I think many people will look at Benji McGee and say, if you're a top six side, you go, we'll want a bit of that. Thank you very much. He surprisingly has quite a bit of stature about him. Obviously, Jay Boyd's connected to Crusaders already. He has that big physical presence as well. And I highly recommend go out and search out that second goal from Benji McGee. It's all his. He picks it up on the right-hand side. It's a 1-2, and he's able there to finish it off in the box. If it wasn't for that great strike from Ben Kennedy in the game against Dungannon for Crusaders, that's my favourite goal of the entire weekend. A great bit of skill, a great bit of determination. And in a game that felt more like same old Lorne, there was also a great strike, and that came from Tomas Cosgrove. Picks up the ball in the centre of the park, opening his body up as he runs towards just the top of the box, and he lets rip, and it sails right into the back of the net. That was a platform that Lauren then took on to eventually then double the lead and get a well-deserved 2-0 victory against Carrick Rangers in the East Coast Collision. And as much as Carrick Rangers will be disappointed because they really showed a good picture of themselves, unfortunately, Lauren have the big-time players to get the goals, get the points, and get the win.
As you say, it was a really good finish by Cosgrove, really well placed. And there have been some question marks from Lauren's supporters about his role and his position on the team this season. He has kept a more fluid role, sometimes playing the right side of a back three, other times he's like a defensive midfielder.
And he's no longer captain as well, which we never really got a coherent answer. We never got an answer. It just seemed to be we tried it out, or it's just a decision that we've made when they changed it to Cian Bolger. When something like that happens, when your title-winning captain doesn't have the armband anymore, it never feels like that's a particularly positive thing. It seems to have been a positive thing for Lauren. It's changed up the way things have gone. It's just happened to match up with a decent bit of form. But he's reacted to it fairly well. He's continued to work hard, and he's being praised by his manager, particularly when you score massive goals like that.
Yeah, I guess it's a case where you can have the captain's armband, but even when you don't have the armband, you've still got those leadership qualities about you. And no doubt Tiernan Lynch values that very much in Tomas Cosgrove's game. It was a really well-placed goal, and then Paul O'Neill goes and wraps it up in the second half. And the thing with Lauren this season has been about converting more of their draws to wins. The only defeat they had was the one at Loughgall. Crucially, going into the game against Carrick, they had five draws from their 12 matches. We made that case right at the start with Cliftonville and Linfield is, can you make the defining impact when you can turn 1 point into three and it can prove crucial during the later stages of the season? So I think getting the 3 points on this occasion, second derby win over Carrick at Inver Park this season, and it being a derby game as well, it fires you up. It's an important result. It's an important 3 points. It's still a strong team. It's still very rich in terms of the strength and depth, and it's not short of leaders.
Before we start looking ahead to this weekend's fixtures, let's pause and reflect on what's going down in the championship. Listeners to this podcast will know that you are a keen follower of Bangor, who are currently plying their trade in the championship. I would say that they've been a bit of a surprise package by being up towards the top of the league, but keen listeners will know that you and I backed them to do a bit of business this year in the league. They're hovering around the top right now, and the one thing that I've noticed looking at this league from afar right now, it feels like we've had three or four front runners already. At the minute, it's Dundella. They've got 3 points over Portadown, who are in second place. Institute in third, playing one game less than everybody else alongside with Annie United due to an injury at their game, which meant their game was abandoned a couple of weeks ago. But the Ports aren't running away with it. They've had a few difficult losses this season. The Welders are sitting outside of the top six. Newington were the surprise team for a while. I've thrown a lot at you. The Duns, the wee Duns are top of the league. How has that come to fruition?
Oh, a superb start for Dundella, and with Stephen Gurley in charge, you know, his first managerial post, really, coming in and getting the Duns firing on all cylinders. And I think they've got a good mix of youth and experience. You've got players the likes of your Andy Halls and your Jamie McGoverns, who've plied their trade for good premiership teams in the past and really brought their experience in the second division to get Dundella to where they are. They've also got a couple of other young prospects. You know, we've seen in the past, Rhys Sinnott and Ryan McKay, who both earned moves to Linfield. They've got guys like Jake Corbett, who was highly rated at Linfield and has been a regular in their midfield. And Lee Ray, who's a young striker who was formerly at Glenavon, has been scoring a few goals. There were question marks at the start because obviously a lot of the core of their team the previous season, you know, they had Eamon Fife, who went away to Coleraine, and the likes of Lee Chapman and Owen McCall, you know, others who went to join Al Curry at Portadown, who'd obviously left earlier in the season. So it was a bit of a changeover for Dundella. And then with Paul Harbinson sort of steering them along the way, and they finished a very respectable fourth. Gurley's kind of built on that foundation. They play very slick. They're a good team to watch. And I have to say, Andy Hall, I mean, he's still got it, you know. His time at Glenavon, it ended with a bit of a whimper, I think, personally. Injuries and work commitments that meant he couldn't really commit to Glenavon anymore. But since joining Dundella, he's been a leader in that team, both in his words and his actions. Even from a midfield role, you know, he's still driving the ball forward. He's still picking out penetrative passes. At times when I've seen Dundella, that he's been a real heartbeat of the team and obviously still has a goal in him as well.
Four wins on the bounce. They're the highest scorers in the league here. That's why they're at the top of the league. A team that might be surprising to people who were looking at the championship at the end of last season, seeing here near the top of the league, is Institute. This is a team who were in dire straits, potentially being set up for a one-on-one relegation playoff with a team in the PIL. That didn't happen because of the situation with Warren Point, but they've been able to drag themselves away from the bottom of the league last season to now being one of the most exciting, thrilling, young and attack-focused teams in this league. This team looked like contenders right now.
Yep, another team who changed their manager over the summer with Kevin Deary coming in for his second spell, a very respectable playing career at Derry City, and who's translated that into management. I have to say, with Institute finishing 11th last season, Deary's turned things around quite drastically. Oisin Devlin looks a real, real prospect in midfield. You know, only just turned 17 years old, but he plays like he's been in the game years. You know, really good at controlling the ball, great touch, and physically he can hold his own in a battle as well. Overall, the style of football at Institute is sort of that mix of playing the ball out. And physically, they're strong. They've got guys like the likes of your Sean Leopards at the back who are strong in the tackle, who are good in the air. I think Stute just have a balance about them. And they've got that mix of youth and experience as well. And I think as we saw in the game against Bangor at the weekend, Sean Leopard scores a bit of a scramble from a free kick, but prods it home and picks it out. And then Kirk McLaughlin comes on as a halftime substitute and gets himself a second half hat trick. And again, picking holes out. His first goal in particular was an absolute beauty, a curler from outside the box. And you have that mix. You've got leaders at the back who'll win their battles against strikers and guys who are in front of them, happy to control the ball, who play the ball about them well, and who can get up the pitch and create chances. That's a really good blend to have. And Stuart, they look very resilient. They don't look like they'd be too fazed if they suffered a setback. And they've also got a fair few clean sheets on the board as well. So yeah, certainly Stuart can very much be looking forward.
Can they keep their consistency up to be around the playoff spots, even maybe title challenging come the end of the season? We'll have to see. Newington's big charge at the top has fallen off significantly. They've lost five out of their last five, but they're still sitting there in the top half. Ballyclare have shown that they can score the goals, but they can concede them as well, sitting in sixth. Anna and the Welders, their early bright starts has been somewhat diminished. They've been dull. They haven't been able to keep themselves up consistent to be really up towards the top of the league challenging. But look, we'll talk about the team who are the biggest team in this division based on fan base and based on investment squad and all type of stuff. Portadown, this has been a bit of a hot and cold season for them, but they're starting to get the goals now. You look at the goal charts, you've got familiar names like Ryan Mayes and Paul McElroy, who are knocking them in this league for the Ports, and they'll really need to rely on big figures like this if they are to establish themselves in this league and to try and get back to the top of the league and then create a bit of distance, because they'll not want to make this any type of race. They'll want to get ahead and stay ahead.
Oh, for sure. Naturally, with the investment that's went into the squad and the quality of players that they have, only natural that expectations would be high at Shamrock Park and on Niall Curry. I'd still say that they've got maybe another gear or two to go up. It's early in the season yet. They had that run earlier in the season. It was at three consecutive defeats, which that set off a few alarm bells, but they've sort of steadied the ship ever since. And apart from Dundella beating them at Shamrock Park, they've won their games and picked up points. And then obviously at the weekend they beat the Welders 5-2. And that was a show of spirit because they were 3-0 up. Welders pegged them back to 3-2. And then later in the game they score two more and they make it safe. It's a high quality Portadown team. Ryan Mayes, you mentioned him. He has really looked the part in terms of his form of late. He won Championship Player of the Month with was it 5 goals and 4 assists? And, he's really making a difference in the attacking end of the pitch. And Paul McElroy was ever so influential after he joined them in January and was leading their charge to try and stay up that ultimately just fell short. And he's really started to find where the net is as well.
You've been very gracious and not brought up your Bangor boys. I'm sure you're delighted in the way they've went. Not the best result of the weekend there, but to be up there sniffing around playoff spot must feel very, very positive.
I think Bangor have been excellent so far in terms of what our expectations were. I just kind of went into it with, pressures off. It's been a long road to get back to this sort of level. So whatever happens, happens. But I have to say, with 20 points on the board and sitting at present fourth place in the table, it's very pleasing. Performances have been excellent. And then you've got the players that were already there. You've got Ben Arthurs, who's top scorer. Adam Neil, who I think is another player who's maybe not been at his best in front of goal, but I think he's due a run in terms of what he's doing off the ball. He's another one like Cushney, who's hardworking and is setting stuff up for his teammates. And then guys like Lewis Harrison and Reece Neil in the team who are really looked at as leaders by Lee Feeney. And even now, Michael Halliday, at 44 years of age, what that man continues to do is just incredible. So all the pieces are just kind of together at the moment, notwithstanding last weekend, of course. But I have to say, I've been very happy with how we've acquitted ourselves to the level in terms of the style of play and having the resilience about us to not try and move away from what we're good at. And we have managed to come out and play some really good football. So I have to be satisfied with the way we've started, but early days yet. And as we know, the championship can change at the flick of a finger. So here's to hoping the good times keep coming.
We will stay in non-playoff Premiership matters for one little moment, as I've got to talk to you about this. It was a story which, when it broke, I think everybody on Twitter was like, what is this? This is April 1st. Where has this come from? But Moyola Park in the PIL have announced, and it has been confirmed by a variety of sources, Kenny Shields is their brand new manager. They're playing at the Corian Showgrounds this season as they reset their own current home, and this feels like such a strange thing to come up. You know, last time we saw Kenny, he was managing the Northern Ireland's national women's side. He'd obviously got them to the Euros, but he's taken a job closer to home to try and help at Moyola Park, who haven't had the best of times in the PIL so far this season. It's a league which has a lot of big hitters all scrapping away to try and get up between Warren Point, Ballymacash, Queens and a free-scoring Limavady. I don't know what the expectations are for Moyola Park, but it definitely was a coup for them to bring in a manager with such immense experience down to that level.
Yeah, I think that took us all off guard. Yeah, great to have Kenny Shields back in the Irish League, first and foremost. I'd read that he hadn't been managing since 2006 when he left Larne. Wow. His first Irish League job in 17 years. And I have to say, with the experience that he's built up for me, he was first at Moyola, which was around the turn of the millennium. He's managed Kilmarnock. He won the League Cup at Kilmarnock. He was at Derry City over 100 games, won the League Cup there as well. Even a spell in Thailand. And as you say, with the Northern Ireland women's team, who he got to that historic Euros last year. For him to come to the PIL, to the team that's currently fourth from bottom, naturally it's going to raise a few eyebrows. But also I would look at it as in terms of there's a bit more attraction about the PIL, because you've got teams like Warren Point, who obviously with a guy like Barry Gray in the league, and then obviously at Lisburn Distillery where Conor McDermott's come in on loan, a few more big names are starting to come into the league. And sometimes it's circumstance, but it's a bit of a trickle down from maybe the higher leagues. And it's sort of like the footballing ecosystem where you get top players that are coming in at the third division, and we're wondering how have they ended up there. So maybe this is one of those cases. And obviously it's quite close to home as well for Kenny Shields in a literal sense. You know, he's from Magrafelt, Magara area, so just up the road. To have him back, obviously, best of luck to him.
We look ahead to this weekend, all on Saturday, which is very unique. We have a late game at 5:30, which is Newry hosting Larne. May as well start there. Newry disappointed not to get anything from that lock-all game, but they showed that they could commit men forward and get the goal. I thought it was a good finish from Adam Sally, but they'll need more than just one good finish if they are to get anything against this Larne side. Larne have proven in that lock-all game that they can be got at if you stand firm defensively. Hasn't been one of Newry's skills this season, but with goals coming from all over the park for Larne, they will be huge favourites going into this game, I'd say.
Oh, certainly. With Newry, I guess it's starting to click a little bit with Adam Sally and Lee Newell up top are starting to combine and get a relationship together. So I think Newry will be looking to those two possibly as the main outlets to cause some danger. They'll be hoping that win against Carrick sets them off on a run. They have the strength and depth that they should enter the game as favourites, and they'll feel that they have enough to do the job. Gary Boyle's got Newry playing some positive football, and that's where I think they'll hope to cause an upset.
Especially away from home for Larne, I think it could be a similar game to what we saw on Friday against Carrick at home. I'm going to say this is a 2-0 victory for Larne.
I'd go along those lines, yeah, 2-0.
At Linfield, Windsor Park, a place which I haven't been able to find a way to use the stat, but I can do now. They have not lost at home in the league since that defeat to Larne last October. They are on a huge run there, and it would be one of the biggest results over the past few years if Lockall was to get a victory. The thing that helps Lockall is that they can score the goals. That's the problem for most teams. They sit back, they let Linfield come at them, and they've got nothing, or they don't have the ability or the personnel to get forward and sneak a goal. Carrick did, and maybe this could be a massive historic day for Benji McGee if he's the man just salaming through all these Linfield defenders to score a historic goal. Can't see it myself. We saw the last time they're up in a big pitch in Belfast. It wasn't their best of days. Perhaps close for the first 20 minutes, I'm going to say Linfield 3-1.
Yeah, I'd go along with that scoreline prediction. I think Loughgall will have a goal in them. By all accounts, they played positive football whenever the reverse fixture took place, when Linfield had Jack Scott to thank on that occasion when they got the points out of Lakeview Park. Yeah, I think Loughgall will have a goal in them, but Linfield, I think they should just have too much for them.
Especially the way they're playing at Windsor Park. The insert big pitch cliche here as well. So definitely a game that, as I talk about here, if I had the, you know, Niffle red zone and I could watch all the games at one go, that would be one which I'd be having a keen eye on. One, though, that would probably take a lot of my attention, as it could be a barn-busting blockbuster, is two teams who have found their scoring boots, found their form. Crusaders, who host Glentoran. Can they produce all this skill, all this ability, this winning form away from home? And can Crusaders get the goals to get the win? I'm going to be boring and say this screams a tight 0-0 affair, but I'd love an early goal to set off fireworks.
Yeah, I think this is a real test for Warren Feeney as to Glentoran's early season renaissance, if you like, after beating Loughgall and Glenavon. They've now got to translate it into playing a top six opponent. They will be tested, and Crusaders, obviously, with the resilience to last time out against Dungannon to come from behind, it should be tight. Oh, I'm going to nudge Glentoran. I'm going to say 1-0 Glentoran.
For Linfield, they'll be delighted all these top six teams are facing off against each other, where Coleraine will have to host Cliftonville. If you've got to be honest, the last team that Coleraine will want the face when they're having defensive troubles is this free-flowing Cliftonville side. Ooh, it feels like not if, it's how many Cliftonville will score. But Coleraine can prove, particularly at home, that they can score plenty themselves. The neutral would say a high-scoring shootout. I'm thinking closer to a 3-4-1 victory for Cliftonville. I think they will be angry. They'll have the bit between their teeth, and they'll have everything that could exploit a slightly lethargic Coleraine backline.
A challenge for Coleraine in itself, having to have Matthew Shevlin absent. So I think the demand on them will have to be where they can find goals from elsewhere on the pitch. Cliftonville, obviously, it was a tough result last time out, but performance-wise against Linfield, they still acquitted themselves well. I think Ben Wilson will be hungry to get back on the scoring trail. Rory Hill, who's provided that many assists for Wilson. I just think they'll be keen to get that combination up and running again. Like you say, Peter, I say a 3-1 win for Cliftonville at the Showgrounds.
Carrick Rangers, last week we joked that they are this season's Glenavon. When they look awful, they start to get wins. And when they start to get wins, they have an awful result. And losing or not getting 3 points against Glenavon at home would be a poor result for any side, or at least one that you do not want on your copybook. The Carrick Rangers low-key were having a nice little run. Danny Perkis getting the goals, and they were not completely blown out by Lorne, but they'll have to try and find their groove, find their cadence again. Danny Perkis will play a big role in that, as well as other players coming from midfield. They can't just rely on him, and they'll need goals against a Glenavon side, because they'll want to calm everything down, slow down this game, which I think means this could be a mere 1-0 victory, but I still think that I'm going to give the edge to Carrick, who need to start winning these games against the bottom six at home.
Yeah, I've quite enjoyed some of Carrick's forward combinations. You've mentioned Danny Perkis there. Nedas Matulaitis, who I feel flows a bit under the radar among players in the league. David Cushley still got a lot about him and has the ability to score stunning goals every once in a while. So they do have those forward combinations about them. And Curtis Allen too. Needless to say, Glenavon need the points, and they'll need to be fired up from the start for this one. But I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw. I think there'll be goals in it on either end, and I think Glenavon will start to get some of the rhythm together. So 2-2.
You're believing in Glenavon until I start seeing them pumping that goal in. It was a nice free kick from Jack Malone, but until I see something more consistent from them, I just can't back them at this stage. And that's exactly a team, or that's a description I would have given to both these teams going in the last weekend. But look, Ballymena, they are able to hold firm against the Crews, keep the score down. They're able to score three at home. That's where this game's played. Massive game at the bottom. A six-pointer, not technically, but in spirit. Ballymena take on Dungannon Swifts. Could be one of those awful games where no team's able to do anything exciting up top, or this is just end-to-end madness. I would take the end-to-end madness as a neutral if possible. That doesn't really mean that there's a scoreline I'm predicting. I feel awful because I've always betted against Ballymena this season, and I'm not going to end this streak. I think Dungannon will catch them while they're somewhat feeling themselves, and I think between Thomas Maguire, nice little midfield play from Keelan Dillon, I think Dungannon will actually get the goals away from home where they've looked sharper, and I think they'll get a 2-0 victory here.
Certainly not a game where you want to be the loser. You
No, absolutely not.
pending potentially goings on at Glenavon. It's not a game where you want to be cut adrift in potentially. Ballymena have the bit between their teeth after getting the win against Corrine, and Dungannon, who want to go and prove a point because the performances have shown positive signs, but they've not been able to pick up the results yet. So it does make for a really interesting matchup. I'm going to go the other way, Peter. I'm going to say Ballymena just nudge it 1-0. Noah Stewart scoring the winner. I'll even do a goal score prediction.
Ah, totally fair. He would be the big man if he rose to that occasion. I think if you're a Glenavon fan, sitting there in 7 points, Dungannon on 8, Ballymena on 9, Newry at 10. If we are to, people might say unfairly, assume that Newry don't add to their total this weekend. If you're Glenavon, do you want that to be a draw? Like, what way are you pulling at this stage? Do you just go, yeah, keep it a draw and keep them close? Particularly if they don't get a result against Carrick. A win for Glenavon and a draw in that game would leave, assuming again Newry gets nothing, 3 points on 10 and one on 9, and we are in for a throwdown for the rest of the season. That would be fun for everybody else, but yeah, I think what goes on at the bottom of the table is going to have more drama, more twists, and more turns unless we see a Linfield collapse. So, everybody watches. Everybody else feels sick and ill and pain if you're one of those teams at the bottom of the league. That's where I'm looking for my entertainment anyway. But Lewis, thank you very much for joining me here once again, as I always do. And I'm sure if people have heard your musings and thoughts before, they're already subbed, they're already subscribed. But where can they find your thoughts and feelings on all things football beyond this mere podcast?
Well, Peter, as some of your listeners might have seen, I have revamped my website. So Football Chatters is now dedicated to all things Irish League and Northern Ireland football. So you just head to footballchatters.co.uk and you can find stuff on Premiership, Championship, PAL, Northern Ireland, women's football, anything that meets your fancy, footballchatters.co.uk. And you can also follow me, Bennett Lewis 75 on Twitter, and there's also the Football Chatters Facebook page, so give it a look.
I and everybody else absolutely will. Lewis, thank you very much for your time. Till next time, cheerio.
Pleasure, Peter.
Another one done. I feel like this kind of time at the end of the podcast, you know, it's a nice chance for us to sit back, relax, a little post-game show, you know, talk one-on-one, in case you probably could tell, because I feel like everybody's getting dosed at the minute. I very much powered through this like a brave little soldier while I have dealt with the circumstances of good old flu or man flu, whatever you want to call it. I've been teased by my wife all week about it, but pretty much this podcast was ran thanks to some flat diet coke and the wonderful joy that is cold and flu tablets. Why are they so expensive these days? Anyway, I did it. That's why I sound odd and hoarse and weird, because all of my functions are not fully into fifth gear powering through. And with that being said, I want to go back to bed. So you already know that you should subscribe to this podcast or follow it, because I told you all at the start of the podcast, but it's also a good time to say, hey, you should follow this podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Kicking Match on there. You want to sit back in bed, maybe you're sick like me and you can't be bothered to go tap your phone or your device to play the podcast. You can sit there, line up, and just shout out to your smart speaker. Probably won't understand you because your nose is blocked, just saying, hey, smart speaker, please play Kicking Match, an Irish League podcast, and they will deliver it to you. It's the future, and we're living in it right now. Enjoy the games, whatever ones you're at. It's probably going to be a Saturday because, you know, they're all on this Saturday. Until next time, you can listen to me anytime. Lots of old episodes, but until next time, we're going to give you a whole new dose of Irish League chat this time next week. Adios.